Hello. Okay, we're going to get started. Welcome to Office Hours with Prime. That's me. Hello. If you have any questions about Neos, please drop them into the Office Hours text chat. There is a few above the one that you're currently in. That's the community meetings channel. I will answer them in the order that they appear. If you have any questions, please drop them in. If you think of any questions at any point that is not during the Office Hours, feel free to DM me or asking questions and help. Thank you. All right, so we're going to start with some questions that were preloaded in from Specs at like half an hour before, so I appreciate that. Thank you, queuing those in. So Specs asks, would you consider the performance cost of a no-collision mesh collider to be significant? I was taking steps to optimize collisions for a world, and I wasn't sure it was worth removing some mesh colliders, even if they were in effect only colliding with lasers. Don't worry about that. No-collision doesn't mean, like, no-collision. It usually just means no-collision events. There's particular filters that occur with the physics events when it comes to colliders, and setting it to no-collision will avoid as many collision events as possible, but of course we'll still have some because it exists. So moving onwards to Storm's question. Storm asks, how is the voice mode sync component used? Don't see any documentation on it. So voice mode sync, I just looked it up because, hey, I don't know. So I looked up the code for it. First of all, it'll only work in user space. That's cool. And then in user space, it's basically an indicator for which voice mode you're on. So there is an output, which is a enum, which will list your voice mode. And then there's a couple of booleans that will list, like, hey, this is the voice modes that you're allowed to use. So I think it's used in part of the construction of the voice mode indicator in the top left of your dash. But I have seen some other uses for it. In particular, I used it recently, like a few months ago, etc., to make a custom voice mode facet, which was very, very particular about how mute was undone. I think it was like you had to hold or double click or do some like really more intentional matter to try and unmute things because they were worried about being accidentally unmuted as they are a mute user. So that's cool. Alex has built anything interesting recently. Let me see what's in my screenshots. So I'm working on anxiety exposure experiments with Hamish, SHFR, and we have like anxiety exposures. And one of them is this thing which Hamish keeps doing, and I always find amazing, which is if you like play with the IK of a non-avatar model, like a skin mesh model, you can actually put like a lookout user component on their head, and it will swivel and look at you. And so the idea here being, hey, give a presentation in a laboratory to a bunch of scientists, and it gets kind of freaky. So let me get screenshots of that, because if you don't limit it, you can basically just snap the heads off. The vertical one. Did I take a vertical one? I didn't. There we go. And it looks, it looks really creepy. So there you go. Lego Creator says, why does the Logix Node browser and create menu ATC have sliding animations, but the attached component menu does not? The attached component menu was really made just quickly, right? It's a really complicated menu, and it was just made quickly to like work. And it got more and more complicated as we added to it. And it's actually quite a good example of that problem, which you'll hear Fruits talk about if you speak to him about, like, hey, why don't you do this like one quick fix for this one particular feature? The attached component menu is one of notable examples about that. There are many other examples, right? The attached component menu just needed to keep getting more and more complicated. It's like, we need to add this feature, that feature, this feature, this feature. And it just kept getting more and more complicated. And so it hasn't grown with time. And that's why we want to completely rework it so it can grow with time. And so when you are thinking in your head, oh, it would take me like 5 minutes if I had access and I could make a code change to edit the menu, yes, it would. But then you'd add that to like the pile. Like a house of cards, it'll come toppling down. So the attached component menu is showing that age and showing that rigidity. Moving downwards past my creepy creepy doctor's photos. They're creepy. We also had, actually once we had an auditorium full of people, but we were experiencing performance issues because of course they had, you know, legs, arms, etc. And so we just removed everything except their heads and had their heads follow. And I do believe it's still in my memes folder. It is quite intensive to load, but in my memes folder, there's a sphere of those heads that's sphere aligned, and it will animate to the Mii channel music. I don't remember why I built that, but hey, it's in the memes folder and it is terrifying. Okay, moving downwards. Where are we? Cobalt Crusher, thank you. Oh, Crusader, I'm so sorry. I've read that as Crusher for like 3 weeks and it's not that. Anyway, is there a way to better lay out or organize for logic, such as maybe a plane-like component tools that, that nodes could automatically snap to? There are a variety of ways of doing it, and they usually have colors associated with them, as you can see from the reactions to your message. There are blueprints, which is the older version of what people use these days, which is called a red print. Really, the reason for the naming and color change is just to distinguish them. There is also a green print. There's also a black print, but I haven't released that. That's Prime's print. I don't use it. That's why it's not released. You know, my avatar is like 90% black, so I tend to use that color as like a branding thing. It's kind of like a weird brand, though. But yeah, I haven't released that one, and I won't be. It was just an experiment, and I got it to work a little bit better than all of the other prints, but it was really flaky, so I didn't release it. Those work in aligning the nodes and various other techniques and tools for them. There is a good tutorial series on the red print from Business Lawyer. I do want to call out that there are other print systems out there, though, because I don't want to, like, you know, do any sort of favoritism-like thing, so do try them all. Additionally for that, there are actually ways in which you should be building your things in Logics to not require red prints. Like, people are always, like, weirded out when I'm like, yeah, I don't use them ever. And there are also some users like that. I understand that, like, the red print is really good for some people, particularly those who need that plane to sort of lay out and focus on the Logics. It's great for that. But I just don't find them necessary. One of the reasons for that is that I don't make large collections. Like, I see pictures in screenshots or in the Logics channel all the time of, like, Logics that's like the size of a building, and it's just like pack early, often, and modularly. Lots of things that are being created, you'll see that in if you poke around in like any of the JP team's stuff. You'll see that they do it the sort of modular way that I tend to do it. If you poke around in like really, really polished stuff, probably even the red print, you'll see a lot of stuff that's sort of like packed early and often. And that way you'll see, hey, there's like 10 nodes in this pack. Do we really need a red print for that? Nope. These 10 nodes connect to another 10 nodes in another pack. Do we need a red print for that? No. We just unpack and pack different things there. You can never get like functions. They don't really like communicate similar to like a function stack would in a game. Instead, they communicate via dynamic variables, dynamic impulses, in some cases just like copious uses of far on true. But that is what I recommend. And you can totally use red prints with that system, but like think about like both approaches. So think about how you can use red print to organize your logics, and also how you can break your logics up such that you can pack it early and often. That helps a lot, and that way you won't have like chaotic mess everywhere. Like, I am constantly making packs, like constantly. Like, it's like, oh, I've made two nodes, I'll pack it, and I'll make another two nodes here and pack that. Just get it out of your screen if you don't need to do that. Do take a look at those printy things, though. There are multiple ones and multiple colors. Moving forwards. Push, push, push. I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm sorry. I'm doing a terrible, bad job. I'm also just rereading Cobble's name. I'm so sorry about that one. I read it incorrectly. Anyway, moving on. They say, how much data does the host process through itself? Like, if someone imported model from his PC, does it mean that it would have to go through the host first and then everyone will see it? I've seen some mentions about mesh networking plans on GitHub. It's really difficult to explain unless we talk about the data model for a bit. So we'll talk about the data model for a bit. For that, though, we're going to need to talk about sort of data storage. And to avoid technicalities, we'll just sort of use an analogy. And the analogy is an Excel spreadsheet. So this is going to be terrible. I know it's going to be terrible, but here we go. If you imagine that there is a Google Excel spreadsheet, whatever like system you use to share spreadsheets with your office workers, whatever you want to use, multiple people can view that spreadsheet and make changes to it. Now, you can view that spreadsheet just by loading the page, and then you'll see, you know, the numbers and the rows on the spreadsheet. It's only when you change a number, like a change a number in a cell, change a cell's value, that a message needs to go from your computer to Google Docs or Office Docs, whatever you want to call it, server, and it tells everyone else that is looking at that spreadsheet, this cell, A1 on your spreadsheet, has changed from 3 to 4. And that's sort of highly analogy specific how Neos works. There is a giant spreadsheet in the cloud hosted on the host's computer. So it's not even in the cloud, it's on the host's computer. And when you join a session, you get the most recent copy of that spreadsheet. And it's like, cool, I've got the most recent copy of that spreadsheet. I know that there is an A1, there's a cell that says 3. And because that cell is 3, there is a floating cube in the left here shaped like a cheese, piece of cheese. When you move that around as a user, you are sending messages to the host and saying, I am moving this. I am moving this. And that is then updating the host and saying, hey, this number that is 3 is now whatever position you're moving it within the world. And then that message is then relayed out to the other people that are in the session. So when you're desynced, it's actually caused by those updates not going through. And then there's some sort of numeric queuing and stacking that happens there. So, you know, I move a cube 2 units to the left and then 2 units to the right. Cool, you missed that 2 units to the right message because you're desynced. The cube will still be in its original location because you haven't got the message yet that it is moved. So that's basically how NEOS works. It's a lot more complicated than that. I was trying to analogy it down to sort of be generic for everyone. If that was a terrible analogy, I do apologize. JSON, if you know the language JSON, synced over the internet is basically what it is. But anyway, moving towards the actual question, then based on that foundational knowledge, when you create a model, you will upload the data from your computer into the session. Once it's uploaded into the session and complete in a way that we can transmit it across, it will then be transmitted to the host and then loaded to everyone else. So a good example here being, I don't know, a picture. Like, people spawn pictures in NEOS all the time. You take the picture, find it, it's a meme, a picture of a cat or whatever, you put it in the world, you'll see it first, and NEOS will do some processing to make it a little bit faster for other people to see it, but sometimes other people won't see it, and that's because it has to go sort of like via the host to you guys, backwards and forwards, etc. And again, that does depend on the URL of the image. If it's like a web address, then it'll be faster. If it's in NEOS DB link, it'll be faster because everyone else can fetch that like in an isolated way. But the actual like, there is a picture here and the URL of the picture is this, has to go through the host. As for the mesh networking plans that you mentioned at the end there, mesh networking would be basically a host user is also known as the authority user. In fact, the host user is often not referred to in code as host user. Like, if you looked at the source code of NEOS, a lot of times it's just like world authority, and that means host user. So the world authority is like, who has authority over the session? Like, if something's happening, who has the authority to say, hey, that's not happening? And that's usually the host right now. With mesh networking, that would more be a sort of consensus-based algorithm, or maybe some sort of like round robin or something like that. And it would basically be, hey, there is a collection of authorities and they are syncing the information around them in a sort of ring or chain, whatever sort of structure fits your sort of visualization there, and trying to figure out sort of how to synchronize all that data across. That would also allow things like larger worlds as well, because like, hey, you know, this part of the mesh could do this part of the world, this part of the mesh could do that part of the world. It'd be cool. Not specifically related to like only like partially related to your like question though, mesh networking. That's more sort of different. Moving forwards, Yellow asks, I saw people put materials as components. What are some reasons to do that over not having it the default way? Materials are components. Everything is components. Even logics is components. Hence why when people are like, I'm avoiding logics because I heard logics is slow, I want you to like quote this everywhere on the internet. Logics is just components. Use it. It's not slow. It's not bad. Don't avoid it. Just use it. Dash Prime 2022. So materials as components. Yeah, so I tend to do this now as well. And the reason behind that is because a lot of times when I'm using materials, I know exactly what I want to do with it. I know where I need it. And therefore, I don't want the ball floating around. Like when you use the material tooltip to create a material, it will create a ball as well. And sometimes I just don't want balls hanging around. And you can quote that as well. When you create a material, the material will be created on that sphere. And that sphere will have a component on it, which is that material. And sometimes you'll lose a reference to that material because if you delete it, it'll end up into the asset system where it's sort of kept as a sort of like table key value storage up there in the asset system. But if you want to be sure exactly where that material is, you can put it directly onto a slot using the components. Either way works and doesn't really have any like benefits or downsides, but doing it the second way as a component definitely allows you to control it a lot more. Having said that, you should only do what I just said if you need to change the properties of the component using logics or other components. If you do not need to change the material once it's in, stop putting it on your avatar, let the asset system handle it. Video on that one when I get around to it, because I see that all the time. People are like, I will put the material on my avatar and all the textures on my avatar. And I'm like, thank you for invalidating the entire asset system's deduplication method. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. great optimization that you've just ignored and completely disabled. More on that one if there are more questions about that one, I guess. Dorky says that they like Ryuvi's logic tip that snaps nodes in a flat plane. I like that one too. That one makes it easier to sort of keep nodes together on the same, I guess, Z level, like the same depth level. I don't really mind about that. Sometimes I'll tidy up, but like I like using the 3D space. If you look at the logic setups I do, you'll see more sort of like semicircles. And the reason behind that is just naturally because I'm turning in the VR space, we end up with semicircles. Whereas if you look at someone with a red print or Ryuvi's tooltip, then you'll see squares or rectangles. Salazu says, how are you doing today? I have the biggest mug of green tea. I think I put too many leaves in because it's very strong. I don't really know how much loose tea you're meant to put in. Last time I looked it up, it was like 2 to 3 grams a cup. And then I like put 2 grams of like loose leaf tea into like a weighing scale. I'm just like, that's a lot. That's a lot of tea. So I need to look it up again. Yep. Aaron says, why not take advantage of 3D space? I totally agree as well. There's sometimes where I go like completely parallel to what I'm doing with the logics. Comes up with like right nodes a lot. And in some cases, relays as well. I'm like, hey, this ribbon's in the way. I'll do a relay and then I'll just like shove it in the Z direction behind my nodes. And then it looks great. I know people do the whole thing where they're like, I'm going to route it around the outside. Like it's some sort of like network cable in a data center. That's cool too, but it usually uses like 5 relays, where if I just add 1 relay, shove it in the Z direction, then it's like out the way. Thinker says they use a sphere line on their logic sometimes. Yep. Send that one. Totally send that one. Don't advise doing it. Spec says if bits of logics don't need to talk to each other, keep them modular, need to pass data between logics, dynamic impulses and dynamic variables may be your friends. Cannot agree more. Dynamic variables, the parent data system, even value fields, which was what we used to use before dynamic variables, they're all fine. They're all ways to think about logics more modular. When you're building your next logic thing, also think about a concept called the separation of concerns. You see this coming up a lot in sort of website design and stuff like that. You'll see things like MVC, MVVM thrown around, model view control and stuff like that. I do want to do a video on that one, but again, it's a difficult topic because it's like, it's basically computer science theory. And so it's just like, hey, I'm not building a space laser here. I'm just talking at you and showing you empty objects and talking about them. So I'm trying to think of a good way to do that. I guess an example here I could probably try and explain would be like a flip book or like a slideshow or like a PowerPoint that you might have inside Neos. What I would see a lot of times is people would have maybe a variable value register in logics, and then they would have button event nodes hooking up to that variable. And so if they add a next and previous button, they've got 2 button events nodes, 2 write nodes that are modifying that variable that then drives which page we're on this PowerPoint or whatever. Instead, if you just made a dynamic variable or even a value field, you won't need any logics. You could just use the common UI button value set or button value cycle or delta components to just do that. And then when you're referring to the slide, the PowerPoint slide, which would use a Boolean switcher, you can just again use a dynamic variable, and then you won't even have logics connecting to that. You just have like everything's just wireless. It's great. Maybe I'll build that. That's a good example. We'll build it 2 ways. I can build it in the tutorial, like how I would build it in 2019, and then how I would build it in 2022. And that might be a good example. I should like put a black and white filter on the camera and be like, back in 2019, here's how I would build this slide system. Now it's 2022. Here's how I would build it. Maybe get a mustache for the 2019 version as well. Anyway, let's move on before I giggle too much. Lego asks, how much of Neos is logics and how much is components? Everything is components because logics is components. Blinks and smiles. No, it depends what you're looking at. So a good example here might be the world browser. So the world browser is 100% components. But the reason it can be 100% components is that there are components that are specifically targeting fetching world information. And you can actually take a look at them, just inspect the world browser. It's actually kind of cool seeing how that works, because that's how I learned how dynamic variables are meant to work, because I saw how Freaks was using them, basically. Then when it comes down to things that people make, it really does depend. There are some component purists who refuse to use logics and seem to be misspreading the misinformation that logics is bad, and I hate them, so please stop doing that if that's one of you. If you're using components because they're helpful and you don't use logics, that's great, but please don't go around telling people that logics is bad. Tell them that it is useful for certain aspects. I noticed that most of the people I speak to these days are those people. They're like, hey, you lose whatever you need to do what gets doing. But there are still people I meet who are like, yep, so-and-so told me that Logix is bad and I shouldn't use it. And I'm just like, I don't know who you are or where you're from, but stop telling people that, please, please. Just take a look around as well. Like the default headset avatar, for example, it has some Logix on it. That controls the voice range, some of the profile pictures. Look at the recent video I published about the profile picture getting that. The same piece of Logix I demonstrate on that is actually in place on that default avatar to get that picture onto the front of it, for example. Kobold says, what in the hell is a color print or backing? I'm still getting started with Logix. Yuki, for anyone else there that is in-game, could you drop a screenshot of a red print in the game? And then if anyone has a link to Business Lawyer's tutorial series on the red print, please go ahead and link the like first episode or the playlist for that so we can get that into the chat for Kobold. Moving forwards, Foxworth talks about monopacking. Do not monopack. So monopack came from this information that slots are bad and therefore we should put all of the Logix onto one slot. And I believe it's a plugin or a mod. I don't really care these days. It's bad, whatever it is. And it will collapse all of the Logix components into one slot. It is terrible. Do not use it. One of the reasons why Logix needs to be on multiple slots is so that us as Neos can understand it when you're loading it a little bit easier and we can figure it out and we can do stuff with it. You may sometimes see, for example, a node which is named injective to backwards compatibility. That is what's happened when I think it's the find child by name node got an additional field which changed its meaning. We put in code which looks for old find child by name nodes when it's loaded and adds that Boolean such backwards compatibility is preserved. If you monopack, it's more difficult for us to do stuff like that. It will probably still work, but because we need to add a node to your setup, it's like, well, we don't understand where it goes because it will make a mess. Adding onto that, slots do not cause performance issues. Here's a good way to think about it. Before you look at the slot count of your avatar, look at the functionality count. So as an example here, look, my avatar's 5,000 slots. That's bad. Actually, it's not. That's a symptom, not the cause. The cause is you have a nuclear orbital defense platform on your avatar that floats 7,000 meters above your avatar and can summon nuclear missiles down to the floor when you push, when you do the finger gun gesture, because, you know, hand gestures are cool these days. That is the problem that is causing your avatar to lag, not the slot count. If you remove your nuclear missile defense orbital platform, your avatar will not lag anymore. So it's the last thing to look at on the list. Slots don't inherently cause performance problems, so don't worry about it. We do have some optimizations to do on that place, but if you're going to start bullying people because of their slot count, don't. Don't bully anyone for any reason. I mean, but like, if you're going to start, you know, looking at someone's avatar and advising them on performance, start with what the avatar does or does not do. You'll get a lot more benefit if you reduce the texture scale, if you reduce the material count, if you reduce the amount of blend shapes, or if you remove their nuclear missile defense orbital platform. Like, if you don't need it, ideally, like, maybe shouldn't be on your avatar. So Yellow now asks, can you move the origin of a mesh in game? No, not currently. You can do what's called create pivot center, and you can also do that sort of manually if you want other style of pivots. What that does is it creates a slot above the avatar or above the mesh, and then parents the mesh to that slot, and then you can move them around separately. So if you've got the parent slot, in this case the pivot, you can then move the mesh relative to that and change its pivot, and then when you move that parent slot, it becomes the pivot. Create pivot at center is really good. That reminds me, if you're a 3D modeler, please look at origins on your models. I'm tired of importing like an axe and the origin being like 50,000 meters to the bottom left of the axe. The origin of an axe model should be in the middle of the handle blade. Thank you, model creators. Ozzy asks, how does max texture setting in a textures inspector work? I was really confused on who does the process compression for it if it's locally completed in the cloud. You do it, and then you submit it back to the cloud to do the work, as far as I'm aware. That's the one that, like, changes the size, right? Not get me a screenshot if I'm mistaken. I might be mistaken there. Anyway, moving on. Ramian asks, on the topic of networking, I've noticed a significant desync with users connecting with high latency, e.g. NZ AU client to European host. Does Neos have some kind of prioritization with at least a higher ping users accumulating more queued packets over time? I'm not quite sure what causes the queued packets on like a network level. I do know is that what we'll see a lot in sessions like that is what I call, consider it's the wrong word because it's like weird. We'll just call it noisy playing, right? So if you're in a session with people that are on the other side of the planet, maybe don't spawn 7,000 YouTube videos into the world because they'll end up desyncing. Maybe don't spawn half your inventory into the world because they'll end up desyncing. If you spawn like one object per minute, they'll probably keep synced. If you spawn 10 objects per minute, they're probably going to desync. So do keep that in mind when you're interacting with NZ and AU from Europe. I see that a lot, especially with new players that are maybe having trouble learning the game. I mean, spawning lots of stuff for new players that are new to the game is bad for other reasons, as in you're overwhelming them, but it's also bad for performance reasons, right? You're unloading like half the inventory into the world. It's a lot of data to sync. And remember, they've never seen that object before. So whilst it might load instantly for you, because it's never been seen by them before, everything's going to load slower for them, especially if it's got like 4K textures on it or whatever. Looks like Crusher's got a desync GitHub issue, so do take a look at that one as well. Another question from Pilchka. Follow-up question. Are there any plans for double precision support for physics transform rendering that should allow for less glitches when you're extremely small, when you're further? Yeah, it's in issues. I don't know what the approach there would be. I know that Freaks has plans to sort of completely upgrade the data model that we're using. That's that giant spreadsheet in the, you know, Google Docs. That's the spreadsheet. It's called the data model. To make that more efficient and have more features that might then allow for double precision. I'm not entirely sure what our priority on that one would be or the process of that one. It seems like it'll be quite big. I'd have to dig in and take a look at that one. And then you say, how far is it from implementation? We don't give ETAs currently. See the announcements channel. I'm so sorry. Moving forwards, Tony says, which of the compression methods for textures is most optimal to be used on avatars? That's, again, a point of contention, right? So if you put it on an anisotropic, I can never pronounce that. Sometimes I call it anisotropic, and I'm like, that's not how it's pronounced. Anisotropic, whatever that one is. That one will give you the best result, but is technically the least performant. And then trilinear or bilinear are good generally. Bilinear is better for performance than trilinear because bi means two, tri means three. So bi will do its processing twice and tri will do it three times. Anisotropic will do it differently, and so therefore there's more effort there. So if you want to do most optimal, point. Yeah, there I said it. If you want to do most optimal, point-based compression. Your avatar's going to look terrible, but that's the most optimal. Woohoo! Moving forwards, Aston says, we know logic are components, which is easier to claim to do two separate things. I do agree. It's just when questions come up about which is like more optimal, the answer is both, right? If you're like, I want to learn logic or I want to learn components, great, I'll help you out. But if you're like, which is more optimal, both. Oracle says, I'm only a week in and people have told me that logic's a bit of a thing to jump into, but it's a pretty amazing thing once you get the hang of it. Have you yet to hear anyone say logic is bad? Fantastic. That might be dying. I don't know. One of the problems I see when people learn logic is they go too big. For example, it's like, I want to learn logic so I can make a gun. That's a big project. I want to learn logic so I can add two numbers together. It'll take you 20 minutes. Like, I don't know how other people are teaching logic, but I'm just like, here is the plus node, adds two numbers together. Once you've got the hang of that, we'll go on to some more complicated stuff. But what I want to do by doing that is to get used to the UI. Like when we're doing advanced spaghetti everywhere on a red print, blue print, purple print, whatever print you want or not, doesn't matter. But when we're doing really complicated logics, I don't want us to be thinking about how we connect ribbons, how we disconnect ribbons. So I show people the plus node and I say, look, you can connect numbers to the plus node and get a result. Get used to the UI, get used to the ribbons, get used to like the visuals, and then we'll cover other nodes. And that way the UI shouldn't be a barrier there. Because I do see that problem as well. It's like, and to make a gun, we're going to need a ribbon here and a ribbon here and a ribbon here. And the user doesn't even know how to make one ribbon. That's a problem. Thanks to Alex, who has linked the YouTube playlist with Business Lawyer and Euclop. Thank you for that. So take a look at that. Cobalt, probably best if you meet up with someone in-game to take a look at the red print in-game. Someone can show you it. And then Olin has a picture of the red print. So you'll see in Odin's picture, there is a red print in the world there. And you'll see it's a grid. That grid is expandable. And when you put nodes near it, those nodes will snap onto a surface of it. You can think of it a little bit like doing a jigsaw puzzle or playing dominoes rather than what logic usually is, which is like, Ah, yes, this magical floating card will connect to this other magical floating card, which is ever so slightly off rotation, and so therefore the ribbons look terrible. Electronus says nuclear launch detected. If anyone adds a missile platform to their avatar, I will be angry. I did this avatar idea once of being like, could I mess with the lasers? You know, the lasers that come out of your hands when you're using tools, etc. Could those come from really high up? I wouldn't like model a spaceship or whatever and put it up there, but it'll be like lore-wise, like, yeah, a satellite does my logic, right? So the laser would come from a high point position in the world, and that would be where the like the nodes and everything is moved from. I'll keep it the same so like you yourself using it wouldn't have any sort of adaptation, but it would just look like a satellite's moving your objects around, etc. All right, moving onwards to Aaron's question. Will there be a way to prevent people from reading logics or getting assets from the creation of yours? Assets, so when you're talking about assets, you're talking about avatar stealing. And so when you're talking about avatar stealing, we will do our best to continue to add improvements to that system. Our next best improvement to this asset theft and stuff like that is the license system. Having said that, though, there is no way to 100% guarantee that something will not be stolen from you. If you think that that's possible, I want you to look at the latest AAA game that has launched and has its assets in Neos already because someone has ripped them. You know, these AAA games are having their assets ripped. There's even things now which can like dump GPU memory to rip assets. So it's like, oh, you've got this DRM in your game that everyone hates. Great. I'll just dump the GPU memory. When it goes beyond that, like, hey, maybe someone's going to actually just get like some tiny copper wires, solder them to an active graphics card and dump it that way. Like, you know, at a certain point, the graphics card gets told there is a triangle here and it looks like your character's colors, etc. And if they can pull that data out of the graphics card, they can reconstruct that into a model. We will do our best. The way that we're doing actually puts us a slight benefit from other places in that you can't really export an avatar once it's in. It sort of gets garbled. So what that allows us to do is if there is a theft that occurs, you can report it to moderation, and we do have the ability to sort of see where it's gone and track its progression. That will get better with that license system I talk about that will enable us to sort of find, manage, and spot thefts a lot easier. As for modifying the logics on your avatar, there is a system called hard permissions, which sort of interplays with the license system a little bit and sort of says like, hey, maybe you can't access this part of a world. And the license system is like, hey, you can't modify this avatar. And that will kind of lock it down and bake it up a little bit. It's similar to how like the verbal rules of a session might work. You know, in a session you might be like, hey, don't do this or I'm going to kick you out, like, but more enforced in terms of technicalities. We don't know the final way that that's going to work, what the UI will look like, what the protections look like, how to apply them or anything like that, because we're still designing the system. But once it's there, you can bet that there'll be tutorials from a certain someone. So Cobalt says, so TDR on the slot thing, the slots aren't the issue, it's what's in those slots. Perfect analogy there. At a certain level, the slots become an issue, but the amount of slots there before you need an issue is because you've added that launch platform. So just remove that. Remove the launch platform. Yeah. As Linker says, my avatar is not laggy, is a quote, and then says, proceeds to have 8K PSD or TIFF textures uncompressed in direct load in every logic system known to man. Exactly what I'm referring to. If you have 8K textures, you better have a good reason for it, and it better look fantastic. It better not just be a two-color palette that has 8K textures for no reason. So Alan says, how to improve performance, delete all slots in avatar. No, delete all systems. Okay, if you want a really, really, really performant avatar, delete all systems. It should just be a character, right? It can have gestures, it can, you know, look like you, it can have blend shapes, but bake the ones you don't need. But does it really need your heart rate in the name badge above you? Does it really need, like, your favorite sandwich in the nameplate above you? Does it need a gun which summons Noah's Ark and all the animals come off Noah's Ark and make their animal noises and then kill someone? It doesn't need that. Like, let's remove that. Like, that's like, remove that. Sorry says, should make a macro that paste blend shape bacon tutorial when a Rex joins. I've tried that. Doesn't work. Like, I sometimes when I host a session, there's like information at the spawn about how to bake blend shapes. Zek asks, is it possible to edit the lasers that come off your hands, the ones that you select with Wiz? I tried finding an inspector, but had no luck. My only thought was it might be possible if someone might accidentally soft lock themselves, something like that. It is possible. Those are called tool anchors. I'll get the video for that. That is if someone hasn't beat me to it. Actually, I'll just say, please go for it. Get the tool anchor video that I have and link it to Zek for me. Cobble says, as a model, please please do that. Yep, that's referring to Origins. I am so far behind on the text here because I'm just answering questions and wittering on. Okay, Epic Easton has a question. Is this an optimized emote system? So that's an interesting idea. Like, I did think about having a segment where we're like, let's review logic, but I didn't want anyone to feel bad, but I will take a look. Just don't feel bad if it's bad, okay? Let me take a look. Use itself, alpha, right latch. Looks good to me. Particularly like the use of right latch. Do you remember right latch is there? Sometimes I see people do Boolean latch with a ternary node. I'm like, it's kind of the same thing as a right latch, so maybe use a right latch. Dorky says, on the topic of having a lot of blend shapes, I recall hearing that the impact is when it's over zero due to vertex calculations. There are multiple types of impact with having multiple blend shapes. So yes, if it's over zero, there's some cost for doing that. If it's moving, there's some cost to doing that. But there is also some cost to have that data in there. I don't know exactly the specifics internally, but imagine it like, I guess like a mask, right? So imagine that each blend shape on top of your face is a mask. So the smiling blend shape is a mask on top of your non-smiling shape. And then your frowny blend shape is another mask on top of that, right? So by the time you get to like 50 facial blend shapes, you're wearing 50 masks. That's kind of difficult. Like, you know, there's videos where the YouTubers put on t-shirts and keep putting them on. That's body blend shapes for you. You're wearing 50 t-shirts. So when you load into the world, Neos has to load those 50 t-shirts, and that's why there's a hitch. Like, there is a cost for that data being there, whether it's on or not. It's in memory, etc. Electrona says, opinion using something like value copy with write back to make fields local for things like set global transform. As far as testing has shown, it means the writes never get synced. It depends what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. If you tell me what you're doing, it might be like a better way of doing it. Specs asks, is there a known cause for the infinite loading bug, referring to users intermittently joined sessions and experience an asset loading count that grows forever and never goes away? There's something up with asset loading. I don't know what's causing it. And I see like multiple things there where I want to look into them. I keep talking to Fruks, et cetera, about like improving the logging there so we know what's going on. I did see a commit from Fruks that hit the source code recently that may help with that a little bit. But I do know that like that still happens. I don't think that I know enough about it to say that there is a known cause though, no. Eggroll4 says anisotropic. Thank you. I'm going to forget that though. Maybe I should like print that and frame it. I might print that and frame it. Anyway, Ozzy says that I'm talking about filter options, not compression methods. Oh, I'm sorry. point filtering, texture compression. I don't remember what the texture compression options look like on a texture. I'm sorry. If it don't get me a picture of the static text, I'm sure I remember it. I just can't like visualize it. Hamish is trying to trick me up here because I pronounce stuff weirdly. They're asking, how would you iterate through a bunch of anisotropic? I can't. Either of those words are just difficult. You don't need to. There's no such thing as an anisotropic, whatever that is. Yeah, cool. Elo says, I asked a person to walk me through making a laser gun. It sounded like a really, really nice experience. It depends on attitude. There's a lot of, again, problems I see in like how people approach systems. So if you approach Neos as, I need to learn, I want to learn, please help me learn, you'll have a lot better time, and then maybe making a gun is a good experience. But if you approach it with, logics is hard, I don't know it, I want to learn it, please make a laser gun, then you'll have a worse time. That's why I usually go with the, like, let's learn the specifics. You know, in education where you learn the theory before you learn the application, a little bit like that. LECVR says, why is Neon so hard to get the hang of, but chill out is easy to use? Depends on your perspective. So chill out is more aligned to how the VR chat experience works, and so it's a better sort of jumping off point for VR chat users. Neos isn't hard in some avenues. It is hard in other avenues, I do admit. It's just, again, like an attitude thing though. So you need to like look at Neos as a completely different beast to VR chat CVR and stuff like that. You're not comparing the two as much when you're comparing how they are to use, you're just learning them in isolation. So an example might be, hey, bringing an avatar in. Yeah, the first time I brought an avatar in, it took me like 2 hours, but now it takes me 5 minutes. It's like, it's an attitude and learning thing. Like, I know the first time's hard. We've got mentors standing by in game all the time to help you get an avatar in. But once you've done it like a few times, it's going to get easier. Once you've been doing it for almost 4 years, like me, it's just like, yeah, sure, come on, whatever. Aaron says, have you done the satellite laser thing? No, I did get close to it, but like not there yet. Spec says photogrammetry avatar theft. You could technically do that, right? If you captured your screen and went around the avatar and then somehow filtered out the background, you could photogrammetry recreate the avatar. And then people say, oh, just block screenshots. Yeah, I've got a camera pointed at my screen. What are you going to do now? It's an interesting question. If you do notice asset theft, do report it to moderation team at moderation.neos.com. We will do our best to figure out why that is and act appropriately. Epic Eason says, what can you do if hard missions is making a map that you are paid on Gumroad or some other websites and people give builder and builders not be able to modify or export any assets in there? Ah, that's hard permissions. Yeah. So the easiest way I can think of hard permissions is right now, if you look at a world, imagine it's a circle. And you can edit everything inside that circle. So you can just, if you're a builder, you can inspect that part of the world. You can inspect the floor. You can unpack the floor. You can look at the logics in the floor. With hard permissions, split that circle into two, and you've got a Venn diagram. Stuff you can edit and stuff you can't edit. And then put various things in one of those circles. So, hey, maybe the floor. You can't edit the floor for some reason. There's proprietary technology in this floor. You can't edit it. But hey, maybe the wall you can. That's in the candidate circle. That's the sort of way I visualize it. Like I said, again, it's not going to be a literal circle in game or the UI for it, but that's the way you should like think about it. Like, here's what you can and cannot do. Aaron says, I think you should do logics review. Ask for permission if you feel you need it, but I think it'd be a fantastic way to teach people. Good example of that one is the Hermit Meter. I recreated the Hermit Meter and halved the logics nodes that were used in the Hermit Meter. I just looked at it and I went, really? And I halved the nodes that were at use. I don't even remember who made the original Hermit Meter. I do believe the one Aaron has is my one, so... Alex says, yo, active development hype. Yeah, there's still stuff happening. If anyone who thinks we're on strike, we're not. If we were on strike, I wouldn't be here. I would be, like, in bed. Okay, I'm finally catching up to the compression stuff. Fantastic. Oh, the BC3 RAGB stuff. And then Lex got a picture. Yes, I have no idea. There are so many options there, and some of them make my textures change to just blue. So I don't know. And then Aegis says, Neos will not be running if we weren't running. Yeah, if it, like... Of all people, I want you to think about Shifty. She tirelessly, every day, answers patron inquiries. Every single day. Like, it's got to the point where she's had to, like, draw the line and set, like, start and end times for her day just to have some sort of sense of normality. That's not on strike. That's we care about the community. We're doing what we can. Again, I've been sat here for 48 minutes answering random questions and saying the word orbital defense platform several times over. We're not on strike. Moving forwards, Miss Kitty says, how does one go learning logics for the first time? I was talking about that earlier. The best way I think is to keep things simple. So your first logic project should be adding two numbers together. Maybe learn the UI, right? Learn how to spawn a node, how to, connect those nodes together, how to disconnect those nodes, how to view that result. Do that first. If you're not tech savvy, the adding numbers together is It should be quite easy. It resembles like how you were taught addition. Once you've got that going, there are videos from other creators. I haven't done a beginner logics tutorial, and that's the reason behind that is just because like I don't know how to approach tutorials for absolute beginners. Lots of my tutorials aren't for beginners, and I do apologize for that. It's just like there is a certain level of detail that you need to know before you watch one of my tutorials, and that makes it easier to like make them. But Basement has an amazing introduction to logics tutorial. So if someone can link that whilst I look at some other questions, then that should help you out there. But I do think that you should keep things as simple as possible to start. Adding numbers together, great. Then once you learn how to add numbers together, maybe do some multiplication. And then once you've done some multiplication, maybe do some division, right? And then once you've done all of the mathematical operators, you should end up with some logics that you can do. I seem to remember Zane. People know Zane, the sort of blue Rex that runs around wearing a hat and sunglasses. Well, like glowy visor. It's not really a sunglasses, but it's glowing that brightly. I gave him a subset of the node browser, which I have somewhere in my public folder, I think. And it has only mathematical nodes. And I just said, play with these. And he's playing with them. They were cool. And then I gave him the T node. And the T node is it counts the number of seconds the world has been open. And he started putting those together, and eventually he got like a number that was just doing something. And he's like, oh, I wonder if I could make the number bigger. And he like, you know, added a multiplication node, etc. So that was cool. Like, you know, he just kept playing with maths until he got there. Dre says, I will jump up to Dorky's question in just a second, but Trace says, what if you're bad at math? You can add two numbers together. It's more like, honestly, it's more about learning the UI. Like, if you learn the UI, you'll have a lot better time when you start looking at other nodes, start looking at other concepts. But what I, again, see a lot of times is, I want to make a gun. Well, okay, can you link two nodes together? I can't. And it's like, okay, let's try 1 + 1 = 2 in logic form just to learn the UI. Like, I'm not trying to insult anyone's intelligence and say, like, you don't know how to add those numbers together. We all know how to do addition. It's just that the UI and placing those nodes in the world and linking them up that I want you to learn. Jumping up to Dorky says, can you explain AnimJ like I'm 5? I keep seeing it mentioned. Try to understand it for the wiki. I can't wrap my head around it. Lex and I are working on updating the animation for that. I spent 4 hours yesterday trying to figure out how matrices work in AnimJ, and my conclusion is they don't. So that was fun. But we are figuring bits of it out. I'm going to go ahead and try, though, and the reason behind that is because I have a very simple AnimJ file. I don't believe we've got any, like, shareable AnimJ files that we've shared before. There are a couple of examples on the wiki, but they're, like, complicated or not easy to use. Let me just go get my sample AnimJ file. I'm not even going to upload that as a file, although I will provide it if you need it. I'm going to just give it to you as a screenshot, simply because then we can talk about it a little bit easier. And I should, I'm going to go ahead and remove the top bit there. And then load my screenshotter. Screenshotting tool, please load. And then I gotta say to Visual Studio that this is JSON. There's that JSON coming up, by the way. If you wanna get ahead in the game when it comes to basically any form of programming, like if you're a programmer who's looking to get, you know, a new programmer who's looking to make a career in programming or learn programming, learn JSON. JSON is amazing and used pretty much like everywhere. So learn JSON. If you don't know JSON, learn JSON. So here is a particular AnimJ file. So if you're not looking at it, and in the notes here, I'll try and get a link to it in the notes on Sounder, etc. This AnimJ file will change the position of a slot at various times. And so you'll see that there is a list of keyframes. And so it will then animate between those keyframes to those values. And that's really all there is to AnimJ, but you can do so many complicated things to it. So if you look at that file, you'll see at time index 0, the left cube is at 0, 0, 0. If you look at time 1, I've moved the cube or whatever to 0.2 to the left. Why are there so many red lines here? Expected comma. Did I make an error problem? My JSON's fine. Value expected. Very confused. That's valid JSON, but it's saying it's not. Unless I'm just missing something. Anyway, so you put that stuff into an animator component, and then you hook it up to various properties, and then you're able to animate it. It's basically a way of describing translations. It's if you look at that script above that I put in the screenshot of, and you don't see what's happening, then you'll have to wait for the tutorial, unfortunately. Moving up, because there are questions I missed. We'll also keep a hard limit of this at 5. I realize we've gone over by half an hour, but we'll stop at 5. So we've got 6 more minutes of questions. So Svekin asks, do shared items, i.e. given to you in a public folder, take up storage if saved in your own world? I don't know. I think I have an answer there, but I don't want to be proven wrong. I know storage space is a hot topic right now, so try it. If you save a public folder in your inventory, no. But if you save it in your own world and save that world, there is a reference to that item, but it should deduplicate the assets on that item, but there still is a storage cost for saving that item in the world. So I don't know. Pushka says, can you choose to save reference to object individually and saving instead of saving entire object to the cloud? No. Although we'll sometimes do that for you. You just don't know that we're doing it. Easton shows an example of adding two numbers together. Again, that's perfect. Olin says, instructions unclear, and then shows the adder node. So the adder node, I can never remember which folder the adder node is in, but we actually have what's called a binary adder in Logix. I learned that back at university, but like adding together two numbers in binary is like magic, and that's because it's binary, and so adding them together is very, very complicated. Moving forwards, Easton says, it's possible to make an AnimJ animator tool inside Aeneas. Probably not, but possibly yes, but also no. The reason behind that is you'll need to construct a JSON file, which is technically possible with a lot of string matching and string nodes, etc. But once you've got that JSON file, you then need to create a file from that, save that file to somewhere which is not inside Neos, and then re-import it. Like, you have to re-import it into Neos as an NMJ file for Neos to kick in and be like, oh, it's an animation. I'll do the NMJ processing on it. Great. Double Stick says, what is NMJ? Is it Neos' animation library? No. It's a way of representing animations that are compatible with Neos' animation library as JSON outside of Neos. Coda says, so basically deconstructing a dope sheet into JSON and bringing it into Neos. Yes, absolutely. VRC refugee ghoul, or the ghoul, okay, there we go, your name is confusing, sorry, the ghoul, is there a way to fix the little shelves on my wrist? Those are tool anchors, those are the tool shelf anchors. Scroll up in this chat a little bit, you'll see the tool shelf or tool anchor tutorial that shows you how to move them around and play with them. If you don't want them there, you can also turn them off that way as well, by just, I think, turning off the anchor will do it. They are great, though. Maybe I should do a tool shelf tutorial, because people don't understand them, and then they struggle to equip tools, and I'm just like, pew pew, look how fast I can equip tools using my tool shelf. And then people are like, oh, that's what those are for. And I'm like, yep, that's what those are for. Math binary for the adder. Thank you. The adder is really cool. Zek asks an interesting question about how does Lex's NMJ that he shared compare to changing it using Logix. You could also change it using Logix, but sometimes it might be better to use NMJ if you know how to do it. It just depends on what you'd like to do. So in NMJ, Lex has the ability to do things in a little bit more of a structured way, where there's the way that would happen in Logix is maybe more complicated. In some cases, what you're doing in Logix for animations is writing mathematical equations which result in the animation that you want. And for anyone that just got scared by that, don't worry about that. I know that was a scary sentence. It's honestly not that bad. There is a video I have about reciprocal motion, which uses maths to make an animation, and it is quite easy once you get the hang of it, which I'll paste here. We are at 1659, so Specs Dorky, if you have a question, go for it. Otherwise, no more questions. Immediately, Dorky stops typing. I'm sorry, Dorky. Is there a difference between the term oscillating and reciprocating? Is that a difference? I don't know. Probably. That's a good way of phrasing it. Spec says, animating via Logix is procedural. You're calculating the animation in real time. Animating via NMJ is baked. The animation is a preset of known values. Yep, that's great. It is now 1700 Canadian Git. You better finish your typed message quickly, or I will send you an angry cat GIF. Okay, well, cut it there. If you have any further questions, please drop them in the questions and help section of the Neos Discord. Direct message me, find me in game, send me a homing pigeon. Hopefully with a cheese reward, but I will see you guys around. Bye-bye. It sounded vaguely Mickey Mousey. I'm not going to do a Mickey Mouse impression, but there you go. Bye-bye.